Good afternoon. I'm Sophia Wisniewska. I'm the regional chancellor here at USF St. Petersburg. Our physical growth is evident in a number of new buildings on campus. The city, of course, has been a critical partner in our evolution. Over the last few years, we've added the Science and Technology Building, the University Center, which you're enjoying today, and the K. Tiedemann College of Business Building, which is under construction and on track to open on time for classes in August. Adjacent to the College of Business, the property we recently purchased from the Poynter Institute will soon have the old Greyhound bus warehouse converted into new biology and chemistry labs for those 700 students that I mentioned. Our updated master plan, which will be reviewed by city officials later this month, calls for additional residence halls and a new parking structure. We are confident that USF St. Petersburg and our neighbors, the USF College of Marine Science and the Florida Institute of Oceanography, will continue to be economic drivers for this wonderful community. The research coming out of our respective institutions and hopefully a new vessel for FIO will continue to show economic impact. It's an exciting time to be at USF St. Petersburg, and I'm honored to be able to lead at this point in our history. And we look forward to the future. I'm confident we will shine brighter than ever as Pinellas County's only residential public research university. I wish you all a very productive meeting and hope to see you back on campus soon. Thank you. And it is now my pleasure to introduce our fabulous mayor, Mayor Rick Reisman.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Sophia, and everyone here at USF St. Pete for hosting us today. I want to thank all of you for being with us today and taking time out of your schedules to be here. I want to introduce a few elected officials and other officials who are here with us today. My incredibly talented Deputy Mayor, Dr. Kanika Tomlin. From St. Pete City Council, Darden Rice. And Council-elect Ed Montanari. Also with us is our great Chamber President from the St. Petersburg Chamber, Chris Steinacher. Chris. And hopefully I didn't miss any other elected officials. If I did, please raise your hand. If not, thank you. Today is an exciting and it's unique, as we haven't really done anything like this for as long as I can remember. Too often, City Hall has relied on others to engage the business community in ways like this. And despite how wonderful our partners are, like the Chamber or the Downtown Partnership, that just shouldn't be the case. We fully recognize how important our role is in this local economy, how important it is for the government of the city to create a climate where businesses can thrive. And I believe we've done that in my 22 months on the job. And we've done it with a talented group of people led by my city development administrator, Alan Delisle, and Dave Goodwin and Sophia Sirolis. Great team. I want to thank them and all of their team for their ideas and more importantly for their really hard work. They put in incredible hours on behalf of the city. It's also important to note that many other city departments share in our economic progress. Without quality of life, strong and safe neighborhoods, clean parks and streets, and recreational amenities, our ability to maintain and grow our economy would be severely hampered. You may know that we have a new vision statement here in St. Petersburg. And it says that St. Petersburg will be a city of opportunity where the sun shines on all who live, work, and play. We will be an innovative, creative, and competitive community that honors our past while pursuing our future. In this video you're about to see, you will see some of that innovation, creativity, and competitiveness.
My commitment is to the people of this great city and investing in our people.
You can build a company anywhere you want, but in St. Petersburg, it's easier because the people there are trying to support you, they're trying to make an opportunity for you, and they're doing everything they can to make that happen.
The city is a great place to start a business. What I found here was this walkable, livable community that offered so much.
They really are here to support us, to really get behind us. They want us to be successful, and they really want to build St. Pete up.
Today we are gathered in celebration of a commitment to incubate and support minority-owned businesses.
I believe that when you look at the 22nd Street corridor today, you would be amazed.
I cannot tell you how refreshing it is to stand in this city and hear the words art and commerce mentioned in the same sentence.
The city of St. Pete has really created an environment that makes it friendly for brewers to come and build in this area. You get to see a city that has re-emerged into something new, and it's neat to be a part of that.
I would encourage other businesses who are looking to come to St. Pete that there really is an administration that's here to support businesses grow and bring entrepreneurs and startups in.
This is such a welcome addition, and it really fits in with our vision of who we keep talking about, what we want St. Pete to be, which is that city of opportunity where the sun shines on all who live, work, and play. And as we like to say, we want the sun to shine on everyone.
One, two, three, and throw!
The people in that video and all the people they represent are why I am so optimistic about the future here. In October, I attended a mayor's conference on entrepreneurship in Albuquerque. One of the speakers at the conference talked about recipes for economic growth. And he explained that, like any good recipe, it's not just about having all of the right ingredients. It's about how much and how little, and how you mix those ingredients. And in St. Pete, in part thanks to so many of you in this room, we're getting the recipe right. Beach Drive and downtown are bustling. The activity goes north up 4th and MLK west into the edge in Grand Central and south onto the Deuces. The Innovation District is taking shape. The Skyway Marina District has great potential, and there are positive indicators like Jabil's partial relocation. And commerce in West St. Pete is strong with a new movie theater opening soon. In other words, St. Pete is cooking. And to give us the details and trend lines and tell us how we stack up are my Deputy Mayor, Dr. Kanika Tomlin, and Alan Delisle and Dave Goodwin from City Development. Thank you all.
Glad to see Louise and Freddie walk in. It's like church or physics class. Everybody sat in the back. But we won't bite. We're going to give you some good news, actually. So we're glad to see you all here today.
So thank you for all for coming. You've seen the most exciting part of the event, because from here on in, we're going to show you data. We're not here to make a big announcement about the economy. We're not here to shine a light on any one aspect of St. Pete. We can all do that at other times. We're here to take some raw data, some raw information that our team has put together that is objective, and we're going to show you the strengths, the weaknesses, where we can improve moving forward. I do want to say that we have pulled from many, many sources here. All the sources are indicated on the slides. The slide and the presentation will be online, so you can drill down further in the future. Obviously, we've got to cover a lot of ground in a quick period of time. No special interest here, it's just about the facts. So we're going to start with population. So let's get into the presentation. We'll take you through many categories here, and we hope by the end of it, you'll get a really good feel for the economy in St. Petersburg. And a lot of this also is in conjunction with the partners that we work with on a daily basis. But as you can see here, this is the population trends. And it's interesting to note that the growth rate has nearly tripled since 2010. So 2010, I know I'm in the way, but here's 2010 for St. Pete, and you can see the increase that we're on here, which is significant. Over the last 30 years, between 1980 and 2010, we grew by about 6,000 people. Okay, the growth rate was about 6,000 people. Between 2010 and 2015, 5 years, the growth rate is about 12,000 people. So having a growing population is important to economic development. More people, more dollars, more spending, more commerce.
And for the first time in about 35 years, the city's actually growing faster than the county, which is good news for the city.
And Deputy Mayor, this slide shows that St. Pete represents about 27% of the county's population. But you can see the growth rate here at 45%, if I can get that, there we go, 45% since 2010. So you can see that St. Petersburg is a major driver in that respect. Growth is good for the economy, it spreads the tax burden, and it means more investments across the board, and most importantly, it means job growth.
A big component of that growth is what's going on downtown. As you've noticed, there's a lot of projects, a lot of residential projects happening right now. In fact, we've got a 24% increase in dwelling units since 2010. And that doesn't include the projects that are currently in permitting. So let's look at a couple of those projects. The one project is 240 units, not under construction yet. So it's not in that number you just saw. And there are a couple others as well. So, and by the way, the one project is 85% pre-sold. Pretty amazing. Other projects you'll see around town, you may recognize affordable projects as well. The Campbell Landings project here is one of the affordable projects. There's three or four. And that's going to be a challenge for us going forward, is to keep adding to that affordable inventory downtown and around the rest of the city. What does this do to have all this residential development? It gives us three markets. We've got the workers market, we've got visitors and tourists that come downtown, but now we've got people that live downtown. That's 24/7, what we've been shooting for.
Another indicator that's important to us is foreign-born population. If you look at over the last 2 years, we've had an increase of about 2,000 foreign-born residents in St. Petersburg. Most of that growth, as you will see, if we break this down into the different continents, boom, there you see it, Latin America, right? Most of the population growth is coming from Latin America. That starts to get us into a conversation about medical tourism from Latin America, the conversation about Cuba, which we've been talking about. We now have more and more business interests about Cuba. The mayor has been very active in that area as well. So you can see and start to see the impact that that is having on St. Pete. 10% of our foreign-born residents, 10% of our population is foreign-born now.
So the face of our city is changing, and it's really important. The mayor is committed, our entire administration is, to ensuring that we create opportunities and engineer ways for our city to grow that reflect the people who live here.
Another area is age, right? We're having a change. We're also seeing a shift in our age. These numbers are a bit startling. Right now, we are about 6.3 years younger than in 1970 in terms of our population. The same period of time, the U.S. was 7.2 years older, right? So we all know about the baby boomers, right? We all tend to be getting a little older, right? But we're going in the opposite direction of the country. We're actually getting younger. Now, just to put that in perspective, we were 20 years older than the U.S. average back in 1970. We are now 6.5 years older than the national average. So basically that shift is starting to bring the age down it then has an impact on the economy, right? Because we've got new voices, new ideas. The pier, for example, is probably a pretty good example of that. We've got to change with the times. Now this, I love this one. I won't spend too much time on this, but you can see that these are the older age groups here. 1970, males, females. Look at the hour shape form of this. Now let's jump to 2013. Look at the change, right? Now it looks like a football player, right? And you've got more thickness here, which is good because these are workers. So when a company comes, right, we're not showing them this anymore, right? We're showing them this. We're saying, here's your future employees.
And those changes, Alan, that's really what drives our vision statement. You know, the mayor talked about being innovative, creative, and a competitive community. And that takes a lot of strategy to make sure that we're prepared, to do so.
Let's look at our educational levels, which really plays into the workforce and the quality of that workforce, and is it ready for the jobs that are coming in the very near future. So you see on the far left, high school graduate, we're lower than, and this is U.S. and Florida versus St. Petersburg. We're lower in high school graduate. That's not a bad thing. You want that number to be lower. This is highest attainment level. Associate's degree, we're higher. Bachelor's degree, we're higher. And graduate and professional degree, we're higher than Florida and a little bit below the United States. Good indicators. Here's that same comparison against the major cities in Florida. So we're kind of in the middle here. We're behind Tampa and Orlando consistently, and we're ahead of Jacksonville and Miami consistently. Again, this is very important as far as developing and having a competitive workforce. Median household income, take a look at our peer cities. Go one more, Alan. Only Jacksonville has a higher median income as compared to these competitive cities in Florida. Now let's take a little closer look at what that means and what you can see. There's St. Petersburg along the top from 27 to 2012. We had a 7.4% increase in median household income. And you see our competitors are all on the negative side. We're definitely on the right trend there. Poverty rate. We're the lowest of our peer cities, but as you can see, steadily climbing every year. All the cities are having that issue. So this is clearly a problem that we must deal with.
It is. This is something that gives us a great concern. While we're the lowest of our peer cities, that trend is going in the wrong direction. And so we're working hard to change the course of that story for those in our city who are adversely affected by poverty. One of the biggest things we're doing around that, to that end, is the establishment of the South St. Petersburg CRA. It's a 40-year plan that really is designed and purposed to shift the trajectory of generational poverty in this area. It is geographically bordered by 49th Street West and 4th Street to the east, 31st Avenue South, and 5th Avenue North. It includes neighborhoods like Campbell Park, Bartlett Park, all of Midtown, Palmetto Park, Twin Brooks, and Wildwood. It's governed by a community advisory committee. Many representatives I see here in the room, thank you for being here. And it's differentiated. We've had CRAs in our city before, but this one is differentiated because it has an investment in social equity as much as it has in infrastructure. It's really working hard to invest in our people as much as our places, and we're confident that it's going to make a change.
These statistics further illustrate the disparity between the city as a whole and the CRA area. You see higher unemployment rates, lower incomes, higher poverty rates for those with educations, and a higher renter occupancy as well.
We can't be the city of opportunity that we envision if people among us live at those levels of poverty.
A very big issue for the mayor is access to capital. We all know that there has been many reports over the last several years, starting with the county poverty report, the Grow Smarter strategy, the 2020, and they all indicated that we have to do a better job providing access to capital in some of our neighborhoods. And so we have an effort underway in conjunction with the council who recently passed the budget. We put in place a neighborhood public-private partnership investment effort. We'll be able to make strategic investments in neighborhood development and commercial districts, just like we did in downtown. The loan fund, we're working on a public-private partnership with the loan fund. I think that there are some banks in the audience today, and we hope we're going to have about 10 investors in a fund along with the city to be able to do loans to neighborhood commercial projects and a second position, so the primary lender is still key there. It's a technique used across the country, and we think it could be used here as well. And of course, the greenhouse has been working with the Tampa Bay Black Business Investment Corp. They are active again in our community, and they just received an SBA grant to do some technical assistance. And the greenhouse is very active, as all of you know, in small business activities and entrepreneurial activities as well. The unemployment rate, no surprises here. It's been coming down since the Great Recession, but the numbers are good. We're lower than Florida in the United States. We're down 54% since 2010, a decrease of 5.7 points. And as you can see, we're under 5%.
So an indicator, one of the indicators of positive economic growth is construction activity and the value of that construction in the city. And what you see here over the last 11 years or so is the early part of the century where we had some boom years, all the way up to about 2026. And then you saw a steady decline down into the recession. We flattened out there in the bottom, 2009. 10, 11, we creeped up, but then 2012, 2013, a little bit down in 14, but back up in 15, that's a really good place to be. That means we've got a lot, we're back on track, man. Activity, development activity is happening in St. Pete, and the trend is very nice. It's a nice place to be. Looking into those numbers a little bit deeper, again, you can see in the early part of the century where we had a boom, there was a lot of commercial construction. That blue band on all those bars, that's commercial. More recently, you see a bigger band for residential. And one thing I want to point out, it's a little bit of a problem area for us. You see the existing residential construction red band used to be pretty high over here. It's gotten quite low. That's very important for the city. We are have a lot of existing residential homes. The vast majority of our homes are residential or existing residential units have been here for two, three, four, and more decades. So having folks reinvest in that homes and making it an environment to do that is very important for us going forward.
And the performance of that indicator is actually driving Neighborhood Affairs Administrator Mike Dove's work to redevelop some of our older neighborhoods where there are 2-1 homes into 3-2s and reflect again that evolving population that we see of millennials and young families who are looking for places to make St. Pete their own.
So you can see that in terms of taxable value, very similar storyline to what Dave just said, the recession moving down and then growing, starting to grow up, move upward. And then as you can see, the same with St. Pete, kind of a dip, and now we're on our way back up, which is great. Why do we focus on economic development? Because it creates tax value, it generates revenue, and it allows municipalities to pay for services. So as you can see, we, both the county and the city, are now in an upswing. And the taxable value growth rate has increased 4% from 2013 to 2014 in St. Petersburg. So basically, from here to here, you can see that there's a 4% growth rate here, which means not a slow growth rate. I mean, 4% is pretty significant. So if we can keep that going over the next several years, that's a positive indicator.
Okay, so let's look at annual sales tax collected. This is for Florida counties over the past six years. And what we see here in the disparity of numbers, St. Pete is, Pinellas County is down there at the bottom. A couple things explain this. Miami-Dade is a much larger community, so it's gonna generate more revenue. Orange County, of course, we know about the tourism and what goes on there that jacks up those numbers, even with a smaller tax rate. So let's look at something that's normalized with kind of a per capita per 1,000 residents. We're still the lowest, but we're more competitive with our peers, again, except for Orange County. And there's a couple things going on there, in particular, retail leakage.
Absolutely. We're moving in the right direction, but there's definite retail leakage. For example, there's about $57 million of retail leakage in the Skyway Marina District every year. And that's because that was once a booming retail center that served a substantial neighborhood and now needs to be redeveloped. So that's one of our biggest focuses. The Skyway Marina District really stands out as one of the city's largest opportunities to really elevate itself to the next level.
There's nothing more frustrating to an economic development person than money leaving your community. And so if people are getting in their cars and driving outside of St. Pete and going outside of Pinellas County to access retail, then we lose that sales tax and we lose the ability to then reinvest those dollars. So an area like the Skyway Marina that used to be vibrant and has some tremendous assets, it's a priority of the mayor's, and we think that it can become a center of activity in addition to downtown and the gateway area as well.
Its proximity to neighborhoods and the waterfront absolutely lend itself to such.
So let's look at some real estate vacancy stats. What we have here is St. Petersburg real estate space, and you can see that the city's overall rate, which is the red line, that's a nice vacancy rate. You get too low, and then there's upward pressure on rents. So that's a healthy. The Main Street, the lower line, look at that. I wouldn't have guessed that. That tells you how strong activity is in our Edge District and our Grand Central District and some of our other, you know, Main Street kind of districts where local businesses and local entrepreneurs are opening up shops and being successful. But look at that number up top. That's the Skyway Marina District. It's up to 20% vacancy, way off the city average. So that's why we focus on Marina District.
And I'll go through this quickly, but let me hit on another major indicator for economic development is office space. And we keep our eye on vacancy rates. Are the buildings full or are they not full? That gets into our business development strategy, which we're gonna hit on in a few minutes as well. But here you can see most of our office space is in the Gateway District and in downtown. We think that the Skyway Marina is an emerging area with Ceridian and now Jabil, as was mentioned earlier. But here you can see that we've had a steady decrease in the vacancy rate for Class A office space, which is good, right? It's now below 10%, and that gets the marketplace talking about more office space. And you're hearing that, right? 500,000 square feet being proposed for the Carillon District. We just had another downtown developer come out with an announcement about wanting to do office space downtown. This is very good, and this is why that happens, because these indicators go down. The Skyway Marina District, again, as we hit on, we just wanted to look at the vacancy rate there. Look at this dip here. That's what a Jabil will do for you. Right? Big change in the vacancy rate, but more to do there, that's for sure. This is the Gateway area, Class A office space, very low. You can see why they want to do another 500,000 square feet. And downtown, now this is interesting here. Oh, they always tell you not to say that, right? Don't say it's interesting. Sorry, I did. So here is the vacancy rate for Class A office space in downtown. We put this in because after the Western Art Museum goes in, once that moves forward, the vacancy rate is down to about 12% in downtown. Because that has 133,000 square feet. If that goes away and is off the market, then we only have a 12% vacancy rate in downtown. So that's another reason why new office is starting to get attention.
And that's an optimized downtown, right, Alan? That's a downtown that's really doing its thing.
Absolutely. More workers.
So great things are going on in the core downtown. But look out west. The opportunities are moving out west. We're seeing it going on right now. There's a new Publix. There's available development sites. There's a lot of activity going on in the Edge District. So that growth, that movement west, is an exciting thing for downtown St. Pete. The Edge, the Grand Central, the Central Arts, really a hotbed of creative and new energy that's opening up new kinds of businesses, bringing in new kinds of customers and new kinds of people, great diversity in that area, so it's very exciting to see. Keep going west. The new Publix, the Chihuly, announced that they're going to open up there across from the Morian, a real anchor. And the Publix just is a real catalyst for additional development out there. We saw it downtown. When the Publix opened, residential grew all around it. That's going to happen out here as well.
And it's a bit of a chicken and egg cycle, which comes first. But it's wonderful to see as we have more business, we certainly have more ancillary services that support great quality of life and benefit not only those people who work downtown and live downtown, but really everybody who peripherally engages with downtown as well. So downtown's growth is good news for all of us.
Yes, and of course, having a Publix is a major signal to that kind of Western movement and the strength of that area in the future. And there's development ideas going on all around there because Publix makes that statement so strongly. Couldn't resist this. There's just been a few discussion points about the TROP and the future of the TROP from an economic development standpoint. You just stand out there, 85 acres, oh my God. Please, can we move on with this discussion, right? But that's just my narrow perspective of the world. But here we had a local architect, Sean Williams. I want to thank Sean for doing this. Just came forward and said, look, you know, here's an idea what could be done here. This is where the stadium is now. You could have kind of a corporate business park back here, maybe a university research element right in the middle, and a new ballpark, you know, overlooking the Edge District and the activity that we just talked about. Maybe some residential and hotels behind it. Just food for thought.
That's also adjacent to the Innovation District, which we'll talk a little bit more about later, but perfectly placed.
Yes.
And again, as downtown grows, the wealth, the positive economic activity spreads out into the community. The Warehouse Arts District is an example of that, where, of course, we're seeing, I mean, it's just become a hot neighborhood, right? There's so much happening out there. Creative, entrepreneurial companies like Genius Central, like the Exchange, the Arts Exchange, galleries. We have our St. Pete Commerce Park, 14 acres, where we've got some good proposals to develop that. So exciting stuff. In once what was a very kind of downtrodden area, now it's an exciting, hot area.
And I want to pause on that for just a minute, because I think it merits note. So the Warehouse Arts District is fantastic, and it's rejuvenating an area that was blighted. But historically, that area was very significant in the African-American community. It was the African-American Main Street during the time of segregation. And so the mayor and our administration are very mindful of that and the role and significance that that area plays for the people who live there and are working very hard to be planful to ensure that we have these amenities added in a way that honors our past while we pursue our future.
So let's go further west. What's happening out there? 10 Theater, Cobb Luxury, 10 Screen Cobb Luxury Theater out in the Tyrone area. Full-service restaurant and bar. Exciting development happening on the west side. Should open in early 26. And Deputy Mayor, I hear they're going to have vibrating seats.
This is my neighborhood, but it had nothing to do with the express permitting.
Keep going out west. The Raytheon site. Tied up in Brownsfield activities for quite a while. The site has basically been cleaned. It's been purchased by a company out of St. Louis called Commercial Development. They are specialized in brownfields redevelopment, and they are currently in the master planning phase. We look forward to something new and exciting happening on that site.
So let's turn the page a little bit to business development. Dave, I'm sorry, I might have jumped on you there.
That's all right. So business tax receipts, it's one way, it's not a perfect measure, but it tells us how many businesses are active in the community. And you can see 2008 through the recession, 2011, there was kind of a downward trend. We bumped up in 2012, and we're kind of banging around the 6,000 business level, 16,000 business level for a while there. So we have recovered, but not entirely. We're still not back to the 2008 level, so we'd like to do that and go beyond it.
And things are going in the right direction, but we certainly aren't in a place to exhale. There's a need and an expressed strategy to be very purposeful about creating an entrepreneurial economy and a community where businesses can not only survive but thrive. And so we're doing that through initiatives like the Greenhouse and other business-focused issues that really reinforce local merchants here in St. Petersburg.
And we want to thank Jessica Eilerman and Sean Kennedy for their leadership in the Greenhouse in partnership with the Chamber. Very exciting stuff going on there.
And that gets us to a discussion about business development and how we attract jobs here and the quality of those jobs. All jobs are good, don't get me wrong. But as we look at our top five industries, and we just wanted to get a sense of what that meant in terms of pay, you can see that currently three of those top industries out of the five are below 40,000. And the fourth is just a little bit above 40,000. So that's not bad, but it just means that maybe we've got to focus on higher paying jobs. Well, before I got here, the chamber, led by Chris Steinacher, and the city, the mayor, formed an alliance and did a detailed analysis, supported by the council, a detailed analysis of where our growth industries may be in the future. Before I get to that, though, we looked at the total occupation growth going forward from 2014 to 2022, and again, we realized, as we looked at the average hourly wage, that you can see that that is fairly low across the board. Now, these jobs are good for the economy and strong, and many people need to have these jobs and then take the step up the ladder. So there's not a negative in that respect, but it does get us to, well, where is our Grow Smarter strategy? What industries do we focus on in the future for higher paying jobs?
And this is where you really see all of the various strategies integrate, if you will. All of the pieces on the chessboard go into their proper place of play. Where the 2020 plan that's working on creating job training and higher wage job opportunities through the engineering of higher skills, where you see Market Street study come into play, where you see every single bit of our economic development strategy come together. The Innovation District, the Skyway Marina District.
Sorry, Deputy Mayor. The five growth industries moving forward in that report: specialized manufacturing, financial services, data analytics, which kind of cuts across many of our industries, creative arts and design, marine and life sciences. Basically, what the report was saying, simply put, was you're going to have, if you spend most of your time in these industries, you're going to have the best return in terms of job growth, and they will be higher salaries. It doesn't mean that you ignore the other areas, not at all. But this should be a focus. Get to know these areas thoroughly and go after the companies that are in these categories aggressively.
And that was a great validation for the Innovation District. This is my baby, which happens to be the cradle of creativity in our community as it relates to life sciences and marine research. Innovation districts are common around our nation. You'll see them being developed all over. Many have been in existence for a very long time. In most cities and communities, what they've had to do is aggregate tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars to align like-minded and like-missioned organizations that drive innovation in their communities. And amazingly, that happened organically in our community through fantastic geographic proximity right along this corridor and where we sit now, where you have world-class health offerings anchored by a university and marine research that really is standard setting in its sector. And so the Innovation District is coming together around that value proposition to ensure that we can recruit and retain our nation's top scientists and researchers to really be an economic driver and engine in our city.
And that's exactly, the driver and engine is exactly the way to put it. As some of you know, I came from the Durham area, Raleigh-Durham, with the research park. That research park was 7,000 acres and about 150 companies, but it drove the economy and is still driving the economy 50 years later. But these are the partners that form the new board of the Innovation District, and they're all working together collaboratively on implementing an agenda. And
this is why it matters. This is why it matters.
This is why it matters, exactly. Because look, patents per 10,000 residents. Now, there are other communities across the country that are, they focus on these statistics just like we are. And as you can see, there's been a little growth here in patents, inventions, right? Inventions lead to commercialization, lead to job, lead to companies and jobs. But you can see that, you know, we've got some work to do. We can get better at it. I.e. the Innovation District. And another indicator is how much research is occurring in your city. And again, kind of the same story, a little increase here, not bad, and there's others that do far worse than we do, but we've got some work to do, right? And we can increase the research dollars in our community, and this is where the marine and the life sciences come together. Dave?
So we have had quite a bit of success because of a lot of the clusters that we have in this community that attract like businesses. And we've had a lot of success recently in bringing some of these companies to the city. And so I call this list Sophia's List. She was involved. There was a lot of folks involved in it, but Chris Steinacher and his team as well, and Sophia and her team. But I call it Sophia's List. Since late 2013, we've had 17 relocations. 1,350 new jobs. They plan to add 600 new jobs in the coming months and years. They're across several clusters, technology, marine science, data analytics, specialized manufacturing, and corporate headquarters. Expanding our entrepreneurial ecosystem with Tech Garage. So, Tanya, you're here. Thank you very much for bringing Tech Garage to downtown St. Pete and all the success you're having there. These businesses come from all over the country and international. And I'm going to ask Sophia about it because I can't keep it straight. They're from all over the place. I-Corps?
New York City, Dave.
New York City. They moved from New York City, really?
Yeah.
Twin Lab?
Also New York City, and then brought employees from Michigan and Utah as well.
Got to be in St. Pete.
Got to be in St. Pete.
Capital Resorts Group?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Blue Ocean?
California.
California. Coming to St. Pete. What's this Shark Shield thing?
Shark Shield is a company that has a technology that protects people from sharks, and they came from Australia.
Australia, folks. And you know, they're here because of the marine science industry and the cluster here. They want to be here. And we also had a couple others, Triad Retail and All Covered, that moved here from Tampa, so we like to mention that. And we also grew other local companies, Valpak, Great Bay, and Lumistream. All local companies that are growing and bringing in divisions from outside. Valpak or Lumistream brought in a division from Canada to St. Petersburg.
I just wanted to mention, though, that the Evan and the transportation team worked very hard on complete streets. And I just wanted to mention that businesses, when we discuss with businesses issues, transportation choices now are very prevalent. I mean, it might have been a conversation that came up a little bit in terms of, well, where are we located, where my employees work. But now this complete transportation equation for workers is extremely important. We got to do a little better job there, in my opinion, moving forward. But We're working very hard on this complete streets concept. What's that mean? It means streets are not just for cars anymore. They're for bikes and people as well. Park once, we're gonna park downtown, and we're gonna park, and we're gonna move you around from there. Park once, and we'll move you. Maybe it's a shuttle, maybe it's gonna be golf carts. We're working on all kinds of creative ideas to move you around. Mayor is very supportive of this as well. The bus grid, more to come on this, but guess what? Williams Park, right? It's possible that we're on our way to moving the bus hub out of Williams Park. We'll have more of a grid system.
We've been working as a city for a very long time to find a sustainable solution to Williams Park. And through the through a partnership with PSTA, we are confident that we are well there. I mean, we have a spring launch date to really redefine the way buses move through downtown and reclaim Williams Park as the community treasure that it once was and should always be.
And move quickly, because developers are already looking at that area. Bike share, we're gonna have an announcement Friday on that. People movers all over the city. Of course, walkability is huge. St. Pete ranks high on every analysis that's done about walkability indexes across the country. We're always in the top 10. It's a huge competitive advantage for us. And then wayfinding, we've got a new wayfinding initiative that is coming into play in next year, Evan?
Early next year. And it's right on brand with our city's new brand, and looks like every great big city that you travel to and marvel at their wonderful wayfinding, now St. Pete will be in the club. And that slide is crowded. That slide is crowded, Alan. And it's crowded on purpose. The mayor is very clear. As our economy booms and great things are happening downtown, we need to make sure that we create the infrastructure and the systems that support it, so this can continue to be a great place to live that feels very good to move around and be in. So transportation is a high priority for us.
This slide speaks to our competitiveness, cost of living. But we have a high amenity community. Right? We all know that. We live here. We enjoy it. But we also have a low-cost community, as you can see from that comparison with other states in Florida and the U.S. average. So it's a tremendous 1-2 punch. You get a lot for your money in St. Petersburg, and that's very valuable for us. Here we have some stats we'll go through very quickly. Total visitors. People want to be here. Total visitors is just dramatically increasing. We're close to 6 million a year. Our occupancy rate at our hotels are up to 75%. They were down lower than that just a few years ago. Our room rates are going up, so the hotels are more profitable. You know, all this tells us that there's growth opportunity. And we know that there's one hotel coming downtown St. Pete, and there are several other looking, so stay tuned for that.
So, of course, to keep the visitors coming and to engage our local residents, we have to keep making smart investments, and we have to change at times. And if you kind of think back to some of the early slides on the demographic shifts, the foreign-born, getting younger, you kind of understand why the pier ended up where it did, right? Because we talked about a much different concept where you would have activity from this end all the way back to Beach Drive. And I just want to mention that the mayor worked to secure an additional $20 million with the county commission supporting our efforts so that we could make a big investment here as well as here and make this one continuous activity center with all kinds of different experiences, and we're working on its implementation now.
Another huge project that helps, you know, raise our profile as a community that's really dynamic and really has tremendous amenities is the Downtown Waterfront Master Plan. A great plan that was put together through a new community vision driven by the community. It identifies many new opportunities, and the peer approach is the first project. So you see that area right there, $20 million dedicated to that project. And the goal is to connect that great pier with our downtown area to make it one seamless activity center and amenity for the community.
And there's other areas that are undergoing
redevelopment or development concepts, the port, the activity that's occurring there, the interest that's occurring there. I see Walt in the audience. We got our first yacht docking there, first commitment to that. So they shouldn't stay away from St. Pete, right? We should be able to entertain them here, that's for sure. We've got a couple of new museums coming to downtown, as I might have mentioned before, but the Western Art Museum and the American Craft Museum, two world status museums being added to the portfolio, and wanted to just kind of see if we could take everything that we have talked about, if I can get this to work. Yes, okay. And just condense it into one slide and talk about St. Petersburg's competitive advantage. And that's the way we look at things in the economic development world, is who are we competing against, and do we have a better story, not make-believe story or a spin story, but a factual story that we can put on the table to enhance businesses to look at St. Pete, individuals to grow their business within St. Pete, investment levels, and to kind of sum it up, we're looking at enhancing access to capital, enhancing our educational attainment. Again, not bad, but can be improved. Continue to encourage development moving west and south. Our city is moving that way. Support our growing population and changing demographics. This is going to mean different types of businesses, different types of workers, different types of ideas. Focus on walkability, creativity, and authenticity, with a key phrase there in parentheses, local. The mayor, the administration, is a big advocate of supporting local development. And that goes hand in hand with those three other words, especially authenticity. Because you don't want it to be the same. You want St. Pete to be unique. And you have done that over the years. And that's why we're reaping the benefits of it now. We want to build on our transportation choices and our affordability. We want to capitalize on our strong economy. The economy is strong in St. Petersburg, as the indicators have identified. But we have to capitalize on that at all times. There's no resting in economic development. There's no resting in business development or job creation. Grow targeted industries. That's the smart growth study that I talked about. We want to continue to grow our research and commercialization efforts, so our indicators are even stronger when we display this next year and the year after. And we want to capture more of that sales tax within our community.
So the quick point of this long presentation is that it's a great time to be in this awesome city. It really is. And, you know, the margin of excellence in which our next level waits to rise is in everybody in this room, the leadership in this room. This is a city of choice. We have great choices, great healthcare providers, great businesses, great neighborhoods. We need to work very hard as a community to make sure our children have great schools. But this is a city of choice, and great things are on the horizon. People are taking note. We just launched a marketing campaign that was one of the directives of the Grow Smarter strategy that Alan mentioned earlier. Said, you guys are a great city, and people just don't understand that. So we launched a marketing campaign that focuses on our arts, focuses on our economic development opportunities, and is really designed to engage people and have them also choose St. Petersburg. And it's working, because our list is long. People know whether we're being named the second most beautiful city in the nation, or the number one best city for millennials. One of the most outstanding places by Forbes. New York Times named us one of the 52 places in the world that you must visit. People understand that this is a special place. But whether or not we reach our potential is up to each of us. So our indicators show promise, and all that's left for us to do is to fill that potential with a continued commitment.
I want to thank the university. Chancellor, thank you for your hospitality. Mayor, I want to thank you for allowing us to do this.
Thank you, Alan. Let me just say one other thing. First off, thank you to my staff again. I am very fortunate to have incredibly talented people working for me here. And any business that's successful, and you all know this, you're successful because you have good people who are committed to making you successful, committed to the community, and committed to what they're trying to accomplish. And we have that here in St. Petersburg, and we're really fortunate. This is, I can't think of a more exciting time to be here in St. Petersburg. I really can't. I have never seen a time where the city, the chamber, the business community, we're all focused on the same thing. We all share the same vision of opportunity. And that's rare. And it's a real opportunity for all of us to take advantage of right now before it passes us by. Because again, if you're in business, you know, if you don't grab that opportunity when it's there, you miss it. Now is our chance. This is the opportunity that we have. And it doesn't come around often. And we have a chance to propel this city to places it's never been and it's never seen before. And to me, that is incredibly exciting. So I thank you all for being a part of it, for helping to move us in that direction. And I look forward to great things from all of you. Thank you all so much.